listening to Shop Talk with your host, Kevin Tates. Brought to you by Eastwood Tools. Everything you need to do the job right.
Hey, you're listening to Shop Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Tates, and we are brought to you by the Eastwood Company. Do the job right with Eastwood. And speaking of doing the job right, we are talking with a guy that, well, he's done the job right. He has won the Don Riddler Award with a vehicle. J.F. Launier from J.F. Customs up in B.C., Canada, my old stomping grounds. J.F., man, congratulations, dude.
Well, thanks.
Thanks? Like, it's no big deal?
You've been bumping
the threshold of this award a couple of times. You've been in the grade eight multiple times. Man, how does it feel? I don't want you to do like verbal cartwheels for us, but how does it feel to finally have achieved that goal?
You know what? It's a weird thing because the goal was something that I thought about and wanted and worked towards. And then when I finally achieved it, it was almost relief. I didn't really have a life plan till that was done. And I know that seems strange to people, but it's more like maybe an Olympic athlete, maybe, where you work and you work and you practice and you do everything and you focus on one goal to the point where you don't really see the rest of your life. And when you finally get done with that, it's like, oh, win, lose, or draw, right? You just sort of, you can carry on with your life.
Yeah.
Hard to explain, no. Really.
No, I personally kind of know what you mean because I remember, you know, when I was writing tech and trying to have my video company going and all that kind of stuff, all I could think about was, man, would I ever love to do one of those how-to TV shows? That would just be it. And now that I've done that, I'm not going to say it was disappointing. I'm not going to say that I haven't enjoyed that as a career. But now I'm looking at what's next. And it's a big, giant question mark for me. So I can kind of relate a little bit. What you've achieved is something that very few people in very few shops do achieve. And I guess the same can be said about, you know, maybe my situation. So maybe I can relate a little bit on a little bit of a level. So I don't know. Have you thought about now? It's been a couple of months.
Well,
it's been a little bit of time.
The trickiest thing for me, in all honesty, has been that I did the journey alone. And having said that, it's not that I didn't have a ton of people help me and come out of the woodwork, and, you know, I had support like I've never had before. People would just show up and work day and night with me. But I had to fund the car, and then I had to build the car.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been done in decades. And the level that the cars are being built at today is different than they were 10 decades ago. The level of build and the demand for the quality of the car and the ideas and the final workmanship and a fit and finish is beyond what it was decades ago. So for me to take the journey on and try to find a way to fund the car and do it myself, it's just a giant thing. And of course, what comes out of that is that you get home and now you got to figure out how to pay all that off and still run a shop and be able to build cars at a little bit less caliber so that you can fit in with the rest of the world, right?
Right, right. Well, maybe a misconception of people out there listening would be that, you know, you load the car up, you get it home, and you open up the shop, and the next day the calls are pouring in and money's coming in and it's raining from heaven. And it's not like that. It's gonna take arguably a little bit of time for that notoriety to catch up with you on a financial level. So I guess I kind of know what you mean as far as now you got to take care of business after having achieved that. So what is your plan? I mean, you're in BC. It's a great place to live, although it's a little out of the pocket from the rest of the hot rod world.
That's the biggest issue for sure. We're up in the middle of nowhere, really, when it comes to when you see, you know, Southern California is the hub of the event, or the industry, and then you can have different branches of it in different places like Florida and Nashville and here and there where there's groups of people and a bit of buzz. But being up in Canada, and, you know, I've got hardly any friends that do anything like I do. I've got a few that are in Washington State. Again, that's a U.S. state, so primarily a U.S. hobby. Not to say that there isn't a lot of interest enthusiasts here, but not to the extent of the American people, for sure.
Well, the whole country of Canada, the population kind of floats on a mirror of the United States. It's about a tenth the population always has been. And yes, there's a great industry up there, and there's a great hobby, and lots of great old cars, but it's just not as big. And, you know, the same for the music industry, which is what brought me down to the States as well. And I had a guy tell me, he was a famous rock star that I cornered in a bar, and he said, you got to go where the industry is. And eventually I did. And I still didn't achieve my goals in the music industry, so I started working on cars again. But anyway, I don't even know. There's a lesson in there somewhere. I don't know what it is, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think you just get through life and you just sort of poke away at stuff. I know that your move must have been similar to what I do a lot of the times and just push, right? Do what you're doing and enjoy it to the best you can and try to do it to the best of your abilities. And that's where I have been waiting for that notoriety to sort of flow in. There's a lot of achievements that we've made in the past in the industry that sort of should have given us our leg up, but my focus right now is going to be to maybe do some television stuff, find somebody who believes I've got a different talent or something that's unique enough to put on television, help promote the business and help promote my love for the industry. And you know, we're talking AMBR a little bit because it's one of the few trophies that isn't hanging in this tiny little shop.
Yeah. And congratulations for all of that, man. I've been in your corner, whether it's been silently or supporting you on Facebook or with you know, I don't know, man. It's cool to see somebody from my stomping grounds. But on top of that, you're a down-to-earth guy. You're an accessible, approachable guy. And, you know, you're skilled beyond your years. And it's great to see you achieve these things. So, you know, not to blow smoke up your butt or anything, JF, but it's just nice to see you achieve these levels of success. And I wish all the best for you. And the TV thing is fun. It's a great expression. And it's a great way to pass on this hobby and this industry to people that may not otherwise be exposed to it. So I wish you well on that endeavor, man. And I think you're a natural for it. I think you're shooing.
Yeah, we're working a little bit with that social media stuff and putting stuff online. And it's funny because I get my kids to do a lot of it. I'm confused. I look at my cell phone and it can do things that I don't understand. I just hit answer and I can send a text, and you know, you're sort of lost if you can't do that nowadays. But as far as turning it into a video camera and doing funny stuff, I can't. But having said that, I think our big focus with the car itself now is going to be to show the world that a Riddler car can be used as a car again. And I say again, but maybe in the past it's never been that way yet. This is going to be the arguably the most driven, the most enjoyed as a car Riddler winner that's ever been in the industry. We're working really hard to prove that point in a way, but it's really who I am. I've never had a car that I didn't go and drive and enjoy and take my kids out and do everything that I do. So.
Well, there's some famous videos of you, you know, with some beautiful, great cars doing donuts in the parking lot, and I love that. I love the fact that you're not afraid to push the loud pedal down, and you know, that says that you can stand behind your builds, and that's also a huge thing as well. It's not just a bag of flour covered in some resin, you know. I mean, they're real cars. And speaking of using cars and using this Riviera, which is out freaking standing, are you going to go on power tour with it? That was the thing that came to mind.
I'd like to do power tour next year with it. I think we have a lot
right.
of stuff. As much as we're doing a few stunts here and there for promotional stuff, it's still a car that needs to be shown and needs to be in good shape and can't afford to get into a crash, can't afford a bunch of extra rock chips just for the sake of this or that. And it's something that we have to sort of take care of. And when I say that, we're trying to add a lot of youth to the industry and make use of the car, but I'm trying to be careful to sort of draw a line between use and abuse.
Yeah,
so we can still use it as a show car for another year of promotion, and then to see a Riddler car on the power tour and drive across country, it would be something else, wouldn't it?
It would be awesome. Hey, man, I want to tell you about something, and this is just come up. It was not my plan to pitch a product to you, but I was just at the Good Guys Nashville Nationals with my car, Jaded. Now, granted, it's a show car because it's been in car shows, but it's a driver. Yeah, it's a nice paint job, but it's a pro touring Mustang that I can beat on, and I'm not afraid of it because I know the paint code. I know there's more paint in the can sitting on the shelf. It's not the level of the Riviera, but I want to take this thing out and beat on it. We went on the autocross. I've got, you know, expensive forged three-piece wheels on all four corners, and I don't want to have to repaint the quarters of the rockers either. Eastwood has come out with a product called the Elastowrap. and it's either sprayable in an aerosol, or you can buy it in quarts or gallons and spray it on with a pneumatic gun or a turbine gun, whatever. But the aerosol is really handy. It comes in a clear. Now, I know you've probably used the 2-inch masking tape on leading edges and you know, inside the wheel wells, because everything is cut and polished on that car. I know it is. I've seen pictures of the bottom side. But this stuff is brilliant, man. You can spray it on. It's elastic, you know, it's bouncy, it's rubbery, so it's going to deflect the rock chips, and it's clear, so it's not going to ruin your paint color, and you can grab an edge and peel it off like a sheet later. I would suggest this stuff to you.
That is awesome. We're going to need some of that to make this car go. Our next goal is to be in Columbus and compete for Street Machine of the Year.
I can't say enough.
A couple cans of that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see if we can set you up and maybe get an impression of it. If you can get us a video of doing that, see what you think about it, and we'll post it on the YouTube thing with the Eastwood channel.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. I'll talk to my people. We'll talk to your people. We'll get you some Elastirap. Yo.
Put it on a fancy car and go burn some donuts.
Yes, sir. Well, there you have it. Wow, man. That just happened. We're talking with J.F. Lonier from J.F. Customs up in B.C., Canada. Osuyas, British Columbia, where all the hot chicks were when I was in high school.
I think there must have been at least 12 of them.
Probably. Yeah. But, you know, I went to SOSS, and my high school was stupid small, but a wonderful place to grow up, man. The Okanagan Valley really was great for me, and I know there's a lot of limitations with it just because it's remote geographically, but, man, what a beautiful place. I saw Dennis Gage do a My Classic Car episode up there doing a wine country tour. It was just kind of cool to see back home.
Yeah, it is a cool place to be.
Yeah. So what kind of builds have you got in the shop? I got to ask, what's going on at JF Customs?
You know what? A lot of the stuff we do is, I'm not going to say mom-and-pop cars, but compared to a Riddler build, the truth of the industry is it doesn't get supported by that kind of a build. We've got three cars that are arguably show cars that will end up turning into real, regular, street-driven machines. We've got a 56 Chevy, beautiful 40 Ford pickup. We're working on 67 Dart right now. So there's some stuff going on, some of them racier than others, some of them more elegant than others. We're just trying to put out some really nice cars for our customers to enjoy. We usually, when we start a build, just make sure that we do a lot of research with the customer as to what their intent is for the car. If you have a good idea of what that is, it's like drawing a, it's like having plans, it's like drawing a map to where you're trying to go. It's like building a custom house. You wouldn't do that without having a good idea of what it's going to look like in the end. So we always start with that. And our biggest goal is to always just please our customers and have them be happy with the end result. It's sometimes hard to decipher what a customer wants because they don't even know. But as you morph, as the build morphs, you just sort of get to the point where you have a good idea of what they like, what they don't like, whether they'll use it a lot, or whether they'll show it a lot, or whether they don't intend to drive it at all, or whether they intend to take it to an autocross course. All those factors you cannot put into one car. And that's what a lot of people forget. A lot of people build kitchen sink cars, and I like to call them kitchen sink cars, because if you had a kitchen sink and a tap, you'd probably have everything you need. They're the cars that sometimes you see at SEMA that have got a 800-horsepower motor, not enough roll cage to substantiate that, six TVs, air ride, and an incredible graphic paint job. And not that I dislike those cars as a full show car, but they won't actually find a direction. And to build a car for a customer, you have to pick a direction and sort of do it to what their thought of a perfect car is, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense, and I like your analogy with a custom-built home. It has to serve a purpose. It has to have function, and then form. To me, form follows function, and I think it should. These are devices. These are arguably cars are appliances, and they have to serve the purpose in which they were intended. So I like the fact that you try and work with your customers to narrow down a design element that satisfies a goal that they want to achieve, and I think that's very smart. And ultimately, and I think you would agree, that creates a happy experience and thereby a happy customer that's going to come back, right?
And a car that once they're happy with the car, they get to use in the direction that we all agreed it would go. And like you say, they do come back, and they do share that with other people, and they share it with their families. Most often it's the families that go, oh, we didn't realize this whole car thing was this busy. Now we're going to car shows, and Dad takes us for ice cream, and every Sunday is busy, and it just sort of creates an opportunity for the family to reunite and make memories.
Cool. Very cool stuff. Well, listen, there's a lot of people that want to follow you. How do people follow JF Customs and what you're doing? Facebook, can they like your Facebook page? Can they go to jfcustoms.com? What are your websites? How do we follow you guys and what you're doing?
We talked about me being not very savvy, didn't we?
We did, but listen, man.
So listen, here's how it works for me.
Learn
about, the only thing I've been able to figure out is that Facebook page. There's a JF Customs Facebook page, and that's the place where we post the Riddler winning car doing donuts. That's the place where we post the events that we'll be at, how to follow us along, how to figure out if you're going to see the car. The car will be in Columbus, Ohio in July. It'll be in Pleasanton, California in August. It will get moved around. So this is how you get a chance to actually put your fingers on this car that's now got a couple of scratches and rock chips and see that it's for real. It isn't just a car that's on a pedestal and having to cruise around in a trailer full of mothballs.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Well, we will definitely keep up with you on Facebook. I got to ask you a couple of rapid-fire questions. You don't have to answer quickly, but it's just real simple bullet points on your Riddler car. Okay, how many years did it take?
6 years, start to finish of actual work.
Did you log man hours? How many man hours?
22,000 hours, we figured.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Okay,
that's what it takes at that level, and I have to say, if there's just people out there listening, what I did proved to the industry that it can be done. If you, as a car builder or you, as an enthusiast, decide you want this that bad, you have to want it more than anybody, and not just pretend you want it more. You can't want it more and go out and buy a new yacht and use up all your money to do that. You can't want it more and have a house without a mortgage and a retirement plan. You have to want it more than anything, and you can do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because that's the difference. That's the difference. There was somebody a long time ago in my life that sat me down and said, well, how bad do you want this? We were talking about a whole other goal. And I said, you know, I want to do this really bad. I something I want. Well, he gave me a visualization to think about. He said, picture yourself 10 feet underwater, and you're at that point to where you've got to have that breath. You've got to have that breath, and your lungs are fighting. Your lungs are telling your brain to open your mouth and inhale, and you can't even reach the surface. You're underwater, and you have to breathe. So your goal is singularly focused on swimming to the surface to get that gulp of air. It's borderline panic. It's an intense feeling that if anybody's ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is the type of dedication and focus that you're talking about, right?
It's unheard of. If you see some of the videos, and you know me quite well now, if you see some of the videos of my interviews at Detroit, I don't even look like myself. I look like a sort of a 60-year-old version of myself, double my age.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I looked terrible, and I was like, holy cow, that isn't me, is it? And it was. So that's, I ran myself to the point where I had shingles from my shoulders to my ankles, and they cleared up 5 days later. I had them for 6 months before the event. They cleared up 5 days later. Obvious signs of abusing my body to get there, but it was the only thing I could think about. I had a really funny analogy in my acceptance speech, and people just think I'm a bit of a wingnut. I try to be, really. But I said, if my mother had died in the last 2 months before the event, her funeral would have had to wait till Tuesday when we got home, and I know that she would have understood. And people just don't understand the drive it takes, and like that's why I talked about Olympic athletes. They only have one goal. They only have one purpose, and beyond that, they haven't thought past it. So.
Well, I've been watching over your shoulder and on the web, and you and I have been texting, and it was nice to catch up with you at SEMA last year and chat a little bit. But I've been in your corner, man, and a lot of other people have been in your corner.
I know,
and I just want to say, well, and not that I could do anything. I wish I could come up there and block panels for you, but I just can't. It's just too damn far away. But I just want to say congratulations, and it's truly from the heart, my friend.
I appreciate that, and I hope that what I leave behind is at least giving other regular people the opportunity to believe in bigger things that are much, much bigger in life and things that seem out of reach. It's taken me a couple months to realize the award's here. It sat on the garage floor for the first month, and people are like, oh, my God, that's the biggest thing award in the industry. I'm like, yeah, there's two of them. There's one for the builder and one for the owner, and they've never been in the same place. And they're like, well, shouldn't you build a rack for it or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, we will.
Yep.
Just trying to find our life. We left that a couple of years ago, right?
Yep. Well, very cool, my friend. If there's anybody that you want to thank, you know, here in front of God and everybody's
Chop Talk. Probably deserve a mention. You know, BASF has been instrumental in making this happen for me. Pirelli has done a great job of feeding us as many tires as we need to do what we're going to do. Tremec Transmissions put a transmission in it, and their goal was to see the car on the Hot Rod Power Tour. Mike Curtis of Curtis Speed, beyond anybody. He's one of my best buddies in the world, but his love for the industry, his ability to build stuff that is unique and really sets itself apart, you can find, of course, Mike Curtis just about anywhere, but Curtis Speed Equipment is what he runs his logo under. The guy's amazing. So.
Well, very cool. Well, you know, I have this fantasy in the back of my brain that you and I are going to do something in this industry sometime together. But in the meantime, maybe we can join forces with you and Eastwood somehow and, you know, get you some Elastirap for the leading edges of your beautiful, beautiful car. And maybe you can have a little more freedom in beating the hell out of it on the road.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've got some of their tools here. I really like them. And being able to have a bit more stuff here of their products would be super. So I'm all for that.
Cool, man. Well, like I said, I'll talk to my people.
Sounds good.
Very cool. Well, JF, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day today. I know you're running ragged as usual, although you do sound a little more calm than the last time I talked to you.
I'm telling you, it's changed my life to just get that out of the way.
Very good. Very good, dude. Well, on behalf of everybody listening and everybody at the Eastwood Company, we just want to say well done, dude. Well done.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Shop Talk. I'm Kevin Tates. We just chatted with JF Longyear from JF Customs in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And you can achieve goals just like JF did. And just keep working at it. Get that work ethic down. Borrow a little from him. Borrow a little from some of these cats at Eastwood. And keep on listening to Shop Talk. There's lots of prizes we're going to give away. And log on to eastwood.com/blog. Catch some of the back interviews. Catch JF's interview from SEMA Show, the floor of SEMA. We talk to all kinds of people there. But in the meantime, get out there and work on your stuff. Work on it and do the job right with Eastwood.
And don't forget about the Improve Your Skills giveaway brought to you by Eastwood Shop Talk that runs from May 2nd through July 4th, 2014. Register to win an 18-volt four-tool combo kit with a circular saw, flashlight, drill, and a reciprocating saw. You can enter online at eastwood.com or by mail. Make sure you enter the promo code DOTHEJOBRIGHT and capitalize it. Capital letters, Do The Job Right. Contest rules and instructions can be found at eastwood.com.